I feel in good company. I'm going to go over there later. No, it's the one thing I want to say before I say anything in that sense is that God is a good God.
Amen.
I mean, God is this amazing God. And you wouldn't have noticed this, but I noticed the young man when he was standing out front. And I felt, you know, he's not the only one with tattoos, okay? So it's like, I felt quite at home. He's quite relaxed. It's like, hey, come on. Good stuff, these tattoos, but they don't go away. This is true. My wife has laid hands on my arms and it's like, in Jesus' name, but they're still there. But the last time that I've actually used my tattoos, I went into the state prison, and I was getting a real hard time because, like, you know, oh, it's another do-gooder, you know. And so I went in and I took my jacket off, and you could see them look, because I've got it. This is confession time. On this hand, or this arm, this little one, they're all faded now because I'm a little bit older than you, so it's okay. Only a few years, okay? It's like, and it's a little devil. And underneath it says, my keeper. And on this one is his wife, my keeper's keeper. No, it's like, so, no. No, but the first thing I want to do, I said I would do this. Please bear with me. I will get going in a second. But I did say I would give a shout out to my friend because he said he was going to be streaming this morning. And so, hey, Shad. So you know, most of you should know Shadron Stornis Bliss. He's a good friend. And, you know, it's not just giving him a shout out. I want God to do something in that young man's life. You know, we pray, and I'm believing God. Shad, I'm believing God that you're going to come through this, and you're going to come out the other end.
Yes, yes, yes.
God's good. And but not just for Shad. I believe God wants to do something this morning. And if you're watching on streaming, I do wonder, okay? So if I go out of shot, you're going to have to blame the guys at the back because they're not following. So, but I believe God wants to do something in this place. During what was going on earlier on, I went across to Randy. I flew in to SeaTac on Tuesday afternoon. I haven't stopped running since I landed. I've been ministering every night since I flew in. And when I was, just before I left, if you don't prepare before you go on a trip like this, there's a snowball's chance of doing any kind of preparation and prep. And I got something in my mind that I was going to do here this morning. And God said, no, you're not. He does that kind of thing from time to time.
Yep.
And so this morning, well, just before I left you, I changed what I thought I was going to do this morning. And when I this was going on this morning, I went over to Randy and I said, excuse me, but have you told them what I'm going to preach on this morning? You know, that God sometimes... Yeah, this is the conclusion to what God has been saying all morning.
Amen.
If you've been listening, might come across in a little bit of a different way, but God, I believe God wants to bring breakthrough this morning.
Hallelujah.
Not just as a bunch of people, but I believe God wants to break through and bring breakthrough into you as individuals. This is where, if I was in Africa, I'd say, touch your neighbor and tell him he's talking about you. So you can do that. Go on. Come on, you can do this. You know, give him an elbow and say, hey, he's talking about you. You see, God wants to bring breakthrough into your life. Why? Why does God want to bring breakthrough into your life?
Bring him glory.
When I started to put this together, God just dropped a word into my mind. Here we go. Connor's back there. He's going to do this. Extravagant. What a great word for a Sunday morning. Do you know what extravagant means? Come on, Connor, you can do this. Oh, look, he's gone too now. Oh, man. One at a time, please, Connor. Okay. Extravagant. I think that's a great, come on, look at that. Exceeding the bounds of reason. God, I love my God, I'm telling you. Exceeding the bounds of reason. Exceeding the bounds of actions. Hey, he can even exceed the bounds of demands. Do you think, come on, don't switch off. Don't turn your brains off because, oh, well, the preacher's going to preach now. It's like, okay, this is where I go to sleep. I want you to grasp this because this is important. It's so important that we understand, you know, because we talk about an extravagant God. We need to understand how extravagant works and will work in our lives. And so, we've got this extravagant God that, hey, his opinions are extravagant. Have you ever read the Bible? He's got some extravagant opinions on some things, including your life. Hello? And his passion. Oh.
Thank you, Lord.
The passion. Extravagant to the point of death.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. It's like... But, okay, Connor, you can go there now. That's what you've called... Where's he gone? Go back, Connor. I'm not pushing the buttons. We serve an extravagant God.
Amen.
Do you know, the senior pastor at the church that I'm based at, and I'm on the leadership team there and all that kind of stuff, he uses PowerPoint. He's PowerPoint crazy. It's like, you know, and he puts all little pictures up and little things. It's like, oh man, it's like, and he's always on about me about using PowerPoint. He said, Jim, you got to use PowerPoint. Come on, you got to learn to use PowerPoint. And I said, no, come on, Mike, I'm not into PowerPoint. He's like, you got to use PowerPoint. One Sunday, he got me really, it's like, he caught me in a bad mood. Do you ever have bad moods? No, you're good Christians, you are. I was like, you don't have that. And he came and said, Jim, have you got a PowerPoint? I said, no, I haven't got a PowerPoint. Oh, God, Jim. I said, look, Mike, let me explain something to you. Do you know why people use PowerPoint? And he looked at me. I said, because they can't communicate. So this is, my wife hates it. This is true. And a lot of you know June. She's been here, but she said, Jim, don't use PowerPoint. Because he always goes wrong. Connor. So, no. Come on, no. No, we should, I better get going here. I hope you brought your lunch with you. Well, that's because it's like, we serve an extravagant God. It's just like, it's his nature to be extravagant. It's how he operates. It's like how he thinks. God thinks extravagant. I don't know whether you know that or not. It's how he conducts himself. And I want to say this. It's how he conducts himself in relation to you and your life.
Yes.
It's how he conducts himself when he makes his plans and his purposes, when he forms his, when he's thinking of, you know, Jeremiah, don't you? That famous verse in 29:11 says, you know, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You know the scripture. Come on. I used to run a group called History Makers, and that used to be my, like, that was my strap line. Okay? It's like, every time they spoke to me, we know the thoughts that he thinks towards us, Jim, because that's, you know, and it's like, but those thoughts and those plans to give you a what? Come on, a future and a hope. They are extravagant. Oh, come on, you can say amen if you agree with that. It's like, look, I'm English, okay? And you know English people are very reserved. Have you ever seen the Queen wave? I think she's got a false hand in the car, you know, and she sticks it on. And when we drink tea, we put our pinky out. But if you want to say amen or get excited while I'm preaching, I won't be offended. Trust me. I've preached in Africa, so I know what getting excited means. Okay, so it's like when you've got 2,000 people standing on a seat waving hankies, you go, hey. And you can't get a word in edgeways. It's, hey. But no. So I don't know why I'm saying all that, but there you go. But let me, because Randy's sitting here, I better read some scripture. So Romans 11:33. I'm going to read it from the Message version. So if you've got the King James or the NIV or Nearly Inspired version, that's okay. Romans 11:33 says this. Have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God? This deep, deep wisdom. It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Out of God's generous heart flows love, grace, kindness, mercy, provision, healing, forgiveness, freely given. Have you been listening this morning? Have you been listening this morning? I'm going to read you 1 John verse 3 from the Voice Message Bible. You didn't even know there was a voice. You thought it was a program on Saturday evening. And it's like on television or something. But the first part of 1 John verse 3 says this. Consider the kind of extravagant love the Father has lavished on us. He calls us children of God. It's true. We're his beloved children. That's you and me. If you've come into a relationship with God, and I don't care how you got there, as long as you come into a relationship with God, you've been born again, you've come to faith, you got saved, whichever way you want to call it, you have become his beloved child. Well, there's one or two of you who are excited about that. It's like, God, absolutely, he can't contain himself. Listen, this extravagant God can't contain himself when he comes to you.
Thank you, Lord.
You've become the apple of his eye. You've become his beloved. It's not that we love him. But he loves us with a love that's so deep and so unfathomable, you can't. I nearly said that in English then. It's just like, how do you contain a God like that? Remembering what the word extravagant meant. Beyond reason. God is unreasonable in the right way. He's so unreasonable that he loved me and you, warts and all. Come on. And it's like this incredible God. But how extravagant is God? How expansive, that's a big word for a Sunday morning. How expansive does God want to be in your life this morning? Why? Because I told you, don't switch your brains off. I want you just to consider this. Now, don't forget, extravagant means beyond reason. How far-reaching, how wide-ranging does God want to be in your life? This is like, wow. If God is an extravagant God, and we serve an extravagant God, how extravagant can God be in your life? You see, God, in his extravagance, is totally unrestricted. He, God, is totally unrestricted in his ability to be extravagant in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Come on. I know you're thinking now. Yeah, I can see there's glazed looks going all around, all over the place, because you're beginning to understand what God was talking about earlier on this morning. Totally unrestricted in his abilities, in his desire, in his passion, that he wants to pour out on you. Not your neighbor, the person sitting next to you, or this side of the church, or that side of the church. You. You can do this. Me. Come on. We got to own some of the stuff that God wants to do, you know. It's me. It's for me. You remember when he said, who wants to, yeah, like, okay, more, Lord. Come on. I was standing at the front doing it that way, but I was going, hey, God, don't send it all that way. Give me some. But I'm giving out. Come on, God, you pour back in. Come on, because I don't want to go home empty. It's like, come on. You see, can I serve an extravagant God? You'll get the message in a minute that we serve an extravagant God. Because I'm going to say this all through this service. I'm telling you. Listen. Beyond reason. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I've come to realize that if God didn't want me to read something, it wouldn't have been in the book.
That's good.
So if it's in the book, he must have wanted me to read it. More than read it, understand it. Yeah. Then to appropriate it. I keep coming out with these big words this morning. I don't know where I'm going. It's like, appropriate, it means take on board, okay? And so, when it says to me, but as it is written, that means God wants to communicate something to me. He wants me to know something. And he says, beyond reason, don't forget, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, come on. I'll read it just so you get it, okay? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has, listen, prepared. So that means they're already there waiting for God, this extravagant God, to just come along and say, you want some? Come and get it. It's like, whoa. It's like God's, and it's beyond my thinking, beyond my comprehension. I don't understand it. You know, in my life, and I've served the Lord for a while now, and it's like, when I think I've got a handle on God, I find he's moved the goalposts. But it's worse than that. He's not moved the goalposts. He's moved to another stadium. It's like, God, I've just gotten used to this stadium. Now you moved. But it's a bigger stadium. It's a better stadium. Got more seats. It's more expansive. I can play my game out here, Lord. And this extravagant God, you know, I'm getting excited. I don't know about you, but this is a good word. I wish I was sitting where you were. I'm telling you, it's like, whoa. But what part do we have to play in all this? I'm talking about this expansive God that wants to pour in. Call it the oil that he was talking about. This. He wants to pour in, but it's not just oil. He wants to pour himself in. He wants. It's just like, I'm going like, whoa, but what part do I play? Come on, God, what do I play? What part? You see, you have to have, you have to receive, that's true, but you have to have capacity.
Yeah.
Capacity. Little word with a big meaning. There has to be, listen to me, there has to be room in your life to contain what God wants to put in it. It's not just about standing here at the front and saying, fill me, Lord. The trouble is with us, we fill ourselves with all kinds of clutter. We fill ourselves with all kinds of activities. Hey, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's like some of the activities and some of the clutter that we put in there, it's good stuff. Come on, and it's needful. Call families and children. And hey, I've been there. My daughter still, and she's married and got grandchildren now, but my youngest daughter still says, and this is an indictment against a preacher, okay? He said, he's been more of a father to others than he was to me. And my wife will say, well, that's not true. But perception sometimes. And I did hundreds of things with my kids when they were growing up. And I gave my life to my kids when they were growing up. And they're as important to me today. And my wife is the same. Somebody said, she said to me this morning when I speak to my wife when I'm away from home, wherever I am in the world, I speak to my wife every day, if it's possible. When you're in Nigeria sometimes, you don't get it. Hey. They don't even have electricity, never mind internet. So it's like, but I do. And she said, somebody said to her, this morning, because it's now evening in England with 8-hour time difference and all that, so they're having a meeting, the Sunday night service in my home church. And they said to her this morning, how do you cope when Jim's away? And she says, well, over the years, I've learned. They said, is it easy? And she said, no, it's not easy. But I know he loves me. And I communicate with my... You see, my wife, I've been married 42 years, and if I had the same chance, I'd marry the same girl over again. Okay? Marriage is not just a relationship, it's a covenant relationship.
That's it.
Anyway, that's another story and another preach, but that's... Yeah. But God understands my activity with my family. That's what I'm trying to say. So there are things that we put into our lives and encompass in what we do and how we are that are genuine and good and wholesome and you get the point. But sometimes the clutter and the activities we put in leave no room for God. Hello?
Forgive us, Lord.
There's a limit. You see, God might be unlimited, but we are limited. Come on, we gotta own that. We are limited. We are finite beings. He is infinite. There's only so much we can take on board. There's only so much we can entertain. There's only so much that we can get involved in. There's only so much that we can contain. And I want to make this statement, and you need to hear me. What we fill our lives with controls our life. Because that becomes the predominant feature of our lives. And we build our lives around what we... Hello? You've all gone quiet now. There's no more amens, brother. It's like... So, what do we do about that? Having said what I've just said, we have to enlarge our capacity for God. We have to be available for God.
Amen.
If you want to be God to be evident in your life and you want God to do His stuff in your life, you have to make yourself available to God.
Amen.
And sometimes that doesn't mean standing in front of the church when the preacher makes an appeal. And then when you walk out the door... This could be a hard word in some respects, but hey, hear my heart. Well, more than that, hear God's heart. Hear what God has to say. Listen. Some good news, okay? I'll give you a bit of a break, okay? God, listen to me, God has made some absolutely extravagant promises in the scriptures. I'm going to read you some. Philippians 4:19, for those who are taking notes. And my God and your God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, if that ain't one doozy of a promise, I don't know what is. The question is, what are you looking for God to supply in your life this morning? And is there room for God to put it in? Sorry. Ephesians 3:20. There's loads of sermons here for you, Randy. So Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able, and more than able, because he can do things beyond reason. Remember what you read about the word extravagant? Told you not to forget it. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. If you read that in the Greek, it means exceedingly, it's like mega. Mega's big. It's bigger than big. It's huge. He can do exceedingly. I love this. It's like, I'm enjoying myself. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying myself. Who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, above reason, according, listen to this, according to the power that works in us. But if there's no room for the power, hello, I'm not getting at you, Maddie, honestly. But you see what I'm saying here? What are you asking him to do in your life today? Because he can do exceedingly, God, abundantly, above. Matthew 11:28. I like this. This is a subtle one, okay? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Thank you, Lord.
This morning, this extravagant God is able to carry your load. Your burden. There is an extravagant God that this morning may want you to lay your burdens, your cares, casting all our cares on him because he cares for you. Yet we carry heavy loads that we were not designed to carry. But I serve an extravagant God. We serve an extravagant God. I've gone too far because I can hear it echoing. I want you to grasp this. This is the Father's heart for you this morning. It's been all through this morning. The whole thing. Matthew 21:22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing. We know what we believe, but sometimes do we believe what we know? I'll say that again. We know what we believe, but do we believe what we know?
Good.
And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you might get. If you pray hard enough, long enough, passionate enough. You will.
That's it.
You will. You will receive. We've got an extravagant God.
Amen.
He is not a disappointment.
Amen.
All these scriptures. All things are possible with this God. This extravagant God. The question is, what are you believing for this morning? So many promises. But I want to point this one out. 1 John 1:7. I'd be rather a bad preacher if I didn't put this in. An extravagant promise that is probably the most extravagant promise that the God of your salvation could make. And he says this: the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Thank you, Lord.
All sin. All sin. Past, present, future. He's got it covered. I don't care where you've been, where you are, where you're going. God has got your salvation covered.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I'm just like, whoa, come on, God. I tell you, I was a sinner. No, when I got saved in the church that I got saved in, nobody preached about being a sinner. I knew. I was a professional sinner. I was good at sinning. I started when I was age 10. I'm now age 23. Okay? So I've been doing it for 13 years on the trot. Hey, come on, Scott, I'm a good sinner. I'd got some baggage. God came along. Said, Jim, I won't tell you the rest of the story because he said, no. There's nothing he can't deal with. So we serve an extravagant God. So what can you and I give an extravagant God? Your life.
Right.
Your life. That's what God challenged me with when I gave my life to God. It wasn't a decision. I didn't just put my hand up and say, okay, God, you're a nice God, you know. He said, Jim, I want your life. Everything you are, everything you've been, and everything you will be.
Thank you, Lord.
You're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. That was the first scripture I ever got memorized. It wasn't, you know, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's like, I know that one as well. And so, I didn't just make a decision when I came into my relationship with God. And if some of you read the book, he demanded, he didn't ask, he demanded my life. Can I suggest this morning that he's not asking? He might not be demanding, but I'll tell you what, he's expecting.
Yes, he is.
He's expecting you to be up front and center and saying, hey, God, here, like somebody in the Old Testament said, here am I, Lord. And putting your hands up isn't just worship, it's surrender. Here am I. And so, all through Scripture, we see that lives of extravagant devotion and surrender to Him capture the heart of God. Do you want to capture the heart of God this morning?
Yes.
Of an extravagant God?
Yeah.
Come on. John 10:10 says this, I came that they might have and enjoy life. This is the Amplified version, by the way, so it's a bit long-winded, so okay, bear with me. I came Listen, Jesus came for you. I came that they might have and enjoy life. And have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. When I was putting this together, because I do this, I do a little bit of study from time to time. It's not all travel. Barnes, in his notes, that's a scholar, wrote this about this particular verse and about abundance. And he says this, and I'm going to read it because this is what Barnes says. He said, literally, that they may have an abundance or that which abounds. The word denotes that which is not absolutely essential to life, but which is superadded to make life happy. They shall not merely have life, a simple, bare existence, but they shall have all those superadded things which are needful to make that life eminently blessed and happy. Oh, come on. Extravagant God, when he comes and says you can have life, a lot of us endure life. We don't enjoy it. Come on. God wants to superadd things beyond reason. I keep saying that because you'll get it by the time I finish preaching. Okay? This is the heart of the extravagant God that we serve, who wants to give us, listen, he wants to give you, he wants to give me more than I deserve.
Yes.
I can hear some of you, because it, and I don't have to be a prophet to say that. Whoa, hold up a bit, Jim. What about all that crud that's going on in my life right now? What about all the stuff that goes on in my life that's not so good? You're talking about this superabundant life and extravagant God and God doing things beyond my reason and he can do exceedingly better than I can ask or think and more than I can... Like, whoa, but Jim, there's stuff going on in my life that doesn't compute with what you're saying. Let me read you a scripture. John 16:33. You'll know the scripture when I start it. You might not recognize it when I finish it. In the world, this is Jesus talking, so it's got to be true. In the world, you will have tribulation. Woohoo! Oh, come on, somebody say, yeah, it's like, these are words of Jesus. And we usually finish that scripture there because it justifies that we're going through a load of... I nearly said something else then, but crud. Okay. There's stuff going on in my life that I'm not really happy with, God. Because, like, and we use this scripture because even Jesus said, I'm going to have tribulation and I'm going to have troubles and trials and stuff not going to be very good. But we never read the back end of that sentence. This is still Jesus speaking, so I assume he knows what he's talking about. But be of good cheer.
Thank you, Lord.
This means, you know, extending the lips sideways. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I could finish there, couldn't I? I haven't finished yet. So sorry. But here's the promise in relation to that of this extravagant God. Right, Connor, one slide at a time. Okay, there you go. What a cracking promise. What an extravagant promise. Come on, you're all reading it. You should. I'm not preaching because I want you to read it first. Okay? Because you don't listen to what I'm going to say because you're reading, you know, it's like. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. The last part of that first. And through us, nudge your neighbor again and say he's talking about you again. And through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. In the midst of your crud, in the neighborhood you live in the place you go to work, where you go to college, where you live and breathe and have your being, no matter what's going on in your life, how many of you know people look at you and watch you? No. But you diffuse, that means spread around, by the way, let loose. Like when you're smelling a bunch of flowers, they diffuse their fragrance. And you go, unless you've got a blocked up nose, it's like. And you can smell the fragrance of the very essence and the being of the flower. Yes? You all get that, don't you? I'm not a scientist or anything like that, but it's like when you go about your daily task, because it talks in the scriptures, and this is another sermon for you, Randy, that you know we should walk as Jesus walked, and that means at large, peripeto, it means at large, doing his daily business, going about his daily tasks, and just getting on with life. You spread the fragrance of God. And out of that fragrance, they can come to know we mess with the atmosphere. We don't change it. We mess it. We mess up the atmosphere wherever you go. A simple story. People, when I did work in a factory once. And that's not degrading people who work in factories, don't get me wrong. But I didn't like it, okay? It was not my boat. It didn't float my boat. But I was there for a couple of years. And you know, people would wait till I booked my holidays so that they could book their holidays at the same time, because I was always guaranteed good weather. It's truth. I worked for a when I went into the ministry, God called me out of a secular employment, which was quite good. I owned my own company, and God said, "I want you to quit." And I said, "Well, get me another job." And He said, "No, you just." And so, I quit. And so I told all the Christian clients that I got, this is true. Don't get condemned by this. This is true. I sent a letter to all the clients that I had, the Christians, and said, you know, God's called me out of this, and I'll be finishing my association with the company. I will no longer be a senior partner. I'm leaving, and I'm not taking up another employment position. I'm going into the ministry. I got not one response from the Christian community. I had a client, and I sent it out as well to everybody else that were non-Christian. And I sent the same letter out, and within days, this guy was a second-hand car dealer. You know what second-hand car dealers are like, don't you? They've got the same reputation over here as they have over in England. You know, likeable rogues. That's a nice way of putting it. Okay? So it's like, he said, Jim, what are you going to do? And I talked to him about the Lord. You know, he's a rogue. Okay? You know, but I dealt with him as a client and stuff like that. And I became friends with him. And he said, what are you going to do, Jim? And I said, well, I'm just going to serve the Lord. Well, what are you going to do for money? I said, well, God's going to supply my need. That was 18 years ago. And he's still supplying the need. But that's another story. Not received a salary, not on staff anywhere. It's like, just God, it's that wonderful, I hate the phrase, live by faith. It's like, that's what we should all be doing that. So it's like, you know, it's like, and so he says, can I help you? I said, no. He said, do you want a job? I said, I don't want a job. No, come on, Jim. Please, let me help you. And he said, I tell you what I'll do. Do one day a week for me. And he said, look after the garage, look after the lot. And I thought for a minute, I said, okay. I said, but this is only short term. He said, I'm asking you to do that because you're the only person in the world I know I can trust. It's a true story. And so I went to do this one day a week. And he said, it doesn't matter if you don't sell any cars. It's okay because I know you're not, you know, a car salesman. And every time I went every week for a number of months, and every time I went, every day I sold two cars. Every day that I was there, I sold two cars. And then I quit doing it, and I said, oh, Jim, he says, my business flourishes. When you're around, my business flourishes. And one day he rang me up. This is a true story. I'm not preaching now. This is a true story. He rang me up and said, Jim, I've had an absolutely terrible week. He said, honestly, I've not had a punter in all week. Not had anybody so much as step onto the forecourt, onto the lot, nothing. He said, would you just come down? This is true. Would you come down and stand on the car lot? This is a rogue, okay? Saved, he isn't, okay? And he says, just come down. I said, okay, for you, Mark, I'll come down. And so I walked down, because it wasn't very far from where I lived, and I walked there as a few blocks, and so I thought, bit of exercise. You know, you can tell I'm super fit. It's like, and I walked down to the lot, and he said, oh, thank you that you've come. Just, I'll give you a coffee. Just stand on the lot. And within 10 minutes of me standing on the lot, he got 5 customers. Sold 3 cars. He said, you're going to stay here all day? I said, no. We diffuse the fragrance. You don't need a bottle of $5 holy oil from the Christian bookstore to carry the oil of anointing.
That's it.
You are the anointing.
Yes.
You do have a fragrance. The extravagant God that you serve, make sure of that. But do you notice on there I've highlighted a word, triumph. I thought it was a really good word because we say, oh yeah, God calls us to get the victory and win. Triumph. And so I looked up this word triumph. Next one, Connor. He's not listening. Oh, he is. Yeah, there you go. Listen. Can you see that? Let you read it first. To make an acclamatory procession. That means to shout about it. Hello? It doesn't mean to go. It means to open your mouth. Talk about the praises of God. Talk about the God that blows your mind because he's so good and he's beyond reason and he can be we have you ever thought about that, this word procession? If it's a procession, that means somebody's following. When you start to proclaim and wherever you are and whatever you're doing the praises of God, I can guarantee you that there are angels. There are angels trooping along behind going, yeah, go preach it, bro. Go preach it, sis. Acclamatory procession. That is, figuratively, to conquer, or by Hebraism, to give victory, to cause, to triumph over. And I thought that was good enough. I thought, yeah, I can. Hey, come on, God, that's mine. I'm taking that. But then I realized that this word triumph, one word in English, is made up of three words in the original language. So not only is that good enough, then it says, every when. And I thought, that's flipping good English. Every when. But then you have to read the rest of it. That is, at all times, always, evermore. There ain't no cessation. There ain't no stopping the triumph that you can walk in. Every which way and how, what, wherever, 24/7, 365, not a day off for Christmas, go for it.
Thank you, Lord.
And then that little word at the end. I love it. Guess what you're going to do next? Us. He's talking about you. Come on, do it. Jesus. Yeah? Are you getting this? It's not for everybody else. It's for me. He wants me to walk in triumph. And us, collectively, together, we can win the victories that God wants us to win, not because of us, but because of Him. And He's an extravagant God. And He wants to do extravagant things in your life. I'm nearly finished. He wants you to be a victor and not a victim. But here's the finale, if you like. If you were doing homiletics, it would be the conclusion. But I'm not going to conclude. I'm going to challenge you again, okay? But having the capacity to contain alone is not enough. Whoa. The ability to receive is as equally important. Say that again. Having the capacity to contain alone is not enough. Having the ability to receive is as equally important.
Yes.
It's no use. Listen to me. It's no use saying, fill me up, Lord, and not being in the right place to be filled up. You got a tap over here and you're dying of thirst. You're absolutely dropping dead for a drink of water. The tap's here. So you go over here and pick the glass up. You turn the tap on and it's flowing. And you say, fill me up, Lord. Do you get the illustration? The glass is not in the right place to be filled up. I have to take the glass if I want to be quench my thirst and put it under the flow. And then guess what? If I don't move the glass, we've heard this already today, if you were listening to what the Spirit was saying earlier on. Overload, overflow, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Come on, God wants to fill you up, but you need to put yourself under the flow. Wherever that is, and whenever it is. It's in your bedroom when you're having your quiet time. It's when you're walking down the street and you're having a talk with God. You're walking along Crescent Beach. Come on. The young man that I mentors, but don't do this, it's not safe, health and safety, okay? I'll be driving my car and he'll be sitting there and I'll say, oh, thank you, Lord. And he goes, what? I said, well, God's just downloaded something. But you're driving. Yeah. But I've made myself available. Don't, I'm not advocating now that you drive along, shut your eyes and say, God, fill me. Because that's not good practice, okay? It causes problems. But you understand what I'm saying. You've got to be in the right place. It's no use saying, I want all you've got, Lord. I want all you've got. And presenting a thimble. Here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Come on. It's like, duh. Homer Simpson's got more sense than that. Come on, it's like. This is my last sentence. Hey, I can say that because it's. You believe. Thank you. Christine believes me. We don't need to present a thimble for God to fill up. We need to present an extravagant God with an extravagant container.
Yes, yes.
your life.
That's it.
Thank you, Lord.
Your life is the extravagant container God wants to fill.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just so this extravagant God can be extravagant with your life. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's the appeal. What are you going to do? Thimble. Life. Life. Thimble. Let's just pray. Those of you who know me know I don't usually make a big show of making an appeal or anything like that. That's just not my style. I don't need my ego rubbing to get everybody in the room standing up. That's means nothing to me. I just want you to sit there for just a moment. Just consider what you've heard all through this morning, not just my preaching, but everything that God has said this morning. There's been a theme this morning. And I really didn't show Randy my notes this morning, so he's not seen. I'm not even staying with Randy. Holy Spirit saw them. He gave them.
That's right.
But what are you going to do with what God has been saying to you this morning in relation to the oil and a relation to be filled and overflowing? And carrying the fragrance of that which you're filled with into the world that you live in. I'm a privileged man. I travel all around the world. I go to many, many places, but there's one place I will never, ever go. That's your world, your sphere of influence. I will never meet the people that you meet. Can I say this? That's your job. That's your calling. To diffuse the fragrance and the knowledge of Him. So I'm going to shut up. I've said enough. I just want you to sit there. Just, Randy, can we just sit for 2 minutes?
Okay.
Very Pentecostal. No praying in tongues, no nothing. But I just want you to speak to the boss. And say, hey, God. And then say to Him whatever it is that you want to say. But please, can I ask you this? Don't present a thimble. Okay, go. There you go. 2 minutes.